said it was an obvious question. Why do you want to be blessed by God? I mean, having the blessing of the God of the universe is itself a good thing, the best thing, of course. That's right and true. But I'm asking it a little bit different. It's why do you want that? Why is blessing what you and I and even unknowingly what everyone wants? I think too often we fail to ask the why question. And I'm not asking this, I should be clear, just philosophically, right? This is not the sort of, well, can God make a rock so heavy that even he can't lift it? I mean, that's not what I'm after here at all. Instead, I'm aimed somewhere else, not just at the mind, but at the heart. Why is it that you and I desire the blessing of God? Do we answer that just thinking for ourselves? Do we want an easy life? Do we want to live better? Is it the American dream? Do we desire his blessing out of a sense of comparison, even? Hey, you know, at least I'm going to hit on all cylinders, you know, unlike that guy over there. Or do we desire the blessing of God because we desire God himself? See, that's a difference, isn't it? There's a difference between wanting and loving the things that somebody can do for you, the things they can provide, and wanting and loving the person himself. I mean, the two are connected, of course, but they're not quite the same. This morning, out of Psalm 119, the psalmist is going to show us a portrait of wanting the Lord's blessing in order to be found obedient. That is to say, he desires God's blessing not just so that his life will go easier and smoother and he'll have better health and more wealth. In fact, he probably won't have any of that. We'll see more and more of that as we go through the psalm. But instead, he calls for the blessing of God in order that he, the psalmist, would be found faithful. And that he, the psalmist, would please his Creator and enjoy his Savior. It's a blessing that serves, you might say then. So, as we dive back into Psalm 119 today, ask yourself, why do you want God's blessing? We're going to pick up at verse 17. Psalm 119, picking up at verse 17. It starts this way. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. I just pause there for a moment. Even in these first three verses, we're seeing that there is blessing in God's will. There's blessing in the will of God. Hopefully, right here from the start, you can see why I began this sermon the way that I did. It's because that's the psalmist's own position. Right? He does want God's blessing, but he wants it for a specific purpose. It's to live and to keep God's word. Lest we think that was just a one-off thought, you know, sort of a, I don't know, we caught the psalmist on the right day, and so he said the right thing. You know, that's the great sort of Sunday school answer. Instead, look at how the psalmist keeps unpacking this. It's not just that I may live and keep your word, verse 17, but then it continues, doesn't it? The psalmist wants to see, right, to truly and rightly perceive with depth and with precision and insight. Well, again, why? It's not just to better enjoy the world, good as that may be. It's not just so that the psalmist doesn't have to deal with the annoyances of, I don't know, putting in his ancient contacts every morning back in the day. No, the sight and mind is not so much physical. Instead, it's with heart. is to behold wondrous things out of God's law. That's the seeing that's in view here. And it's a striking thing to ask for, isn't it? I mean, when was the last time that you sought the God of heaven and earth's blessing in order that you would serve him more and better and passionately and full-heartedly and faithfully? And what's more, when was the last time that you asked the Lord to give you eyes to see his word? A word that's not just duty, it's not just a dry history book, it's not just repetitive, but instead that you would see God's word as wondrous. It's not an adjective that we so often apply to the scriptures, but we should. We ought to. Friends, if you haven't grasped it now to this point, today ought to be a wake-up call for you and I. The reason that we treasure every word from God, the reason why we spend so much time either reading the scriptures and hearing from the word here on a Sunday, the reason why our Bible studies are again and again and again digging into the word, the reason why we want you to bring your Bibles to Sunday school, but the reasons for all of that isn't just to have some kind of Christian ritual. It's not even just that we'd have kind of our Christian, you know, rabbit's foot that we carry around. Hey, we've got this thing here. No. Instead, it's deeper and bigger and better. It's because what God has given to us teaches us, it tells us about God himself. That's why the word is so wondrous. That's why even God's law, which is contained right here in the scriptures, is a wonderful thing. Author Christopher Ashe puts it this way. He writes that the word of God reveals the person of God. So the Bible's not kind of over here, and yeah, it tells us some things about God, and isn't that great, but God's really over here. No, they're connected. This is God's breathed. That's why we say it's inspired. The very words teach us about our God. They're God-shaped, if we could say it that way. You and I then can know God. We can know more about him, not through some sort of hidden ritual or by becoming monks or nuns, not through some sort of vision quest. Hey, you don't have to go to seminary. I recommend seminary. You don't have to, though. There's no secret handshake they teach us. No, instead, the primary way that we can know about God, firsty free, right? The way that we can know who he is, what he's like, what he loves, what he hates, how to please him, we know that by paying close attention to his words. That's what the Bible is. So we treasure what God has said, what he's preserved, what he's gifted to us. And that's why we read and pray and study over the scriptures. It's not checklist. It's not meant to be kind of burdensome or guilt-driven. Oh, I haven't read today. I'm a terrible Christian. No, this is meant to be a delight and a joy, life-giving words. As the hymn says, the wonderful words of life. Some of you grew up in a time of letter writing. That's not as common these days, but if you haven't sent a letter or a card, maybe at least you've received one. And you get that, and you open it up, and you read it, and you know sometimes you even get one from someone who's written this amazing message in it, one filled with encouragement. And you pore over those words, don't you? You treasure them? I know I do. Okay, well, think of that and then realize that God's word is not only no less than a blessing, but it's infinitely more even than the best card or letter that you've ever received. Enjoy his word. Feast on it. Develop a taste for it. That's what the psalmist is calling us to. Now, for some of you, maybe you need to rearrange some parts of your life to do this regularly, that reading the Word wouldn't get squeezed out by other important things. I get it. None of you would raise your hand if I said, hey, who's not busy and you're just bored all the time because you have too much time on your hands? There's really almost no one who would do that. If that's you, great. Don't make us all jealous, right? But we do make time for the things that are most important. That's the call here. The right to develop a taste for God's Word. And I know of a person who refuses to watch the news or pick up his phone until he's spent time in the Scriptures each morning. Others of you need to pray and ask the Lord to even give you a heart to pick it up in the first place. There can be times when, just for whatever reason, maybe it's something inside of us, maybe it's the pressures of the world or the devil around us, but where God's Word just sounds like the last thing you want to do. Okay, well, the way to respond to that isn't just to give in and, well, maybe someday I'll feel like it. No, cry out to the Lord. Lord, you say that these are wondrous words here. Give me eyes to see them. It's a prayer that I believe the Lord would delight to answer. All right, take today, friends, as your invitation to know and enjoy the Lord more fully, more joyfully. Pursue Him in the Word. It's the first big chunk that we see of this stanza in Psalm 119. I want you to see how it continues, though, because it doesn't just end there with that thought. Look at verse 20. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. But for the one who treasures the Lord, by treasuring his word, there is blessing instead of judgment. The consistent testimony of the Scriptures is that there's really only two ways to live. Psalms are going to be no different. And so there is a way that leads to real life, to true life. That way is found only in treasuring the Lord. And the one who is perfectly treasured when we have not, when you and I have failed, because we all have, the one who has supremely valued all of the Father's words, even when we have failed to do so, that one is nobody less or other than our Lord and King and Savior, Jesus Christ, the very one who gave his body and blood for all who trust in him. He has done, he has accomplished, but we cannot. And the amazing news of the gospel is that what he did wasn't just for himself, as if, well, hey, that's great. I'm glad for Jesus that he was faithful. No, it's that he turned around and he offers his righteousness, the pardon for our sins. He gives that to you, first Ephraim. Will you receive it? And actually, we can be more precise, not just will you receive it, will you receive him? And that's the call here. That's the picture here. Jesus is the keeper of the word keeper. By enjoying and responding to him, we ourselves get fullness of joy. His perfect record given to all who believe. And that's you, brother, if you trust Jesus as your Savior. That's you, sister, if you call on him as your Lord. And that's you, student, if you love Jesus Christ and want to serve him. Right? Jesus has done the work. Isn't it interesting? All throughout this psalm, I realize it's written in poetry, so it's a little different already, but it's not a list of, okay, here's 100 and, I always say it wrong, 176? Yeah, 176 verses of a checklist, and once you do all of these, you can delight in your Savior. No, it's not that. It's that your Savior has kept all of this. And because He has done the work, you and I are called to delight. God's words, then, for the Christian are not simply commands, but also blessings. Make sure you don't miss that. God's words for us are not only commands. There are commands. We shouldn't ever deny that. We don't need to. But those commands are always blessings as well. It's like they're on the same plate. You can't separate them. What we do with God's words makes all the difference. That's what we're seeing in these verses, right? It is the presumptuous ones here, the arrogant ones who ignore God. They're the ones who receive rebuke. Those who wander from what He has said rather than longing for what He has said. And that should encourage us, right? Because the one blessed by God is not the one, I don't see anything here saying, oh, it's the one who's got everything memorized, right? Who did, you know, all the Awana verses every week on time. Praise God if you did, by the way. You'll find that that's going to be a harvest of righteousness in your heart through the decades. I was an Awana dropout, actually. I still struggle. Right? Some of you, you know, if you ask me something, I can kind of paraphrase a lot of verses, but if you ask, you know, word for word, and what verse number is that exactly, that's hard, I think. Amazed that some of you find that easy. That's a gift from God. And yet notice here, my hope, just like your hope, is not in having everything memorized, your spiritual life all put together, no bumps or curves in the road. But instead, look at verse 20. That the one blessed by God is the one who longs for God's words. That's where blessing is found. Not in our perfection, but in Christ's. Right? Do you want all that God says to be fulfilled and to be enjoyed? Do you yearn for heaven on earth, as the Lord's Prayer says, for God's will to be perfectly done, for all that He has said to come about? And dear church, you can be confident that the Lord's blessing is for you. That's what our psalmist is saying. And once more, note what else is for you. The removal of scorn and contempt given by those who oppose you because you love the Lord. There is a hope and a protection. Not that we won't go through hard times. Jesus has all but assured us that we will. But that God will preserve us through those times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice it's not I'm taking the detour around the valley. It's that our good shepherd goes through the valley with us. This is the hope for all who trust in what the Lord has said. Someday the scorn of all God's enemies will end when Christ returns, sets all things right, makes all things, including you and me, new. That's our hope. Blessing in God's will. Blessing instead of judgment. And our psalmist gives us then one further point in these verses. It's like they're building, right? There's almost a crescendo, and it's that there is blessing instead of despair. Timely message in our world of bad news. Verses 23 and 24. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. But the first part of this so often describes our own lives, doesn't it? Not that princes plot against you, I hope. Maybe you're more notable than I know, but you feel powerless. You see that others seem to have arrayed themselves against you. Maybe that's a boss. Maybe that's your fellow students. In this case, the reason is given by the psalmist. It's not just because people don't like him. They got a personal grudge against him. It's rather the princes of this earth set themselves against the psalmist because of whom he follows. It's because he follows the Lord. Set themselves against him because of whose words matter most. God's words matter most to the psalmist, not the words of everyone else around. How are you and I then, friends, to respond to a world that at best gives lip service to Christianity and then at worst opposes and oppresses Christians? One answer is given here. And notice it's not to take up arms. It's not to lawyer up. Instead, it's to meditate on God's words. To look again, to fix your eyes on what's true. That's what cuts through the fog of anything and everything else. Which is to say that when opposition comes, what you and I must first and foremost give ourselves to is that we are to look to what is true, to fill our minds not with strategies and defenses, but with the loving and wise and good words of our God. Right? This is how Jesus responded to the temptations of the devil. You're probably familiar with that. If not, I would check out that passage this week. You'll notice in your Bible there's probably a footnote for each of his responses, and that's because each of his responses is a quote from the Old Testament. It's even a quote from the places we usually don't read. It's just amazing to me. It's not just how Jesus combated sin, but how Jesus held firmly to every word from his Father. Let his way be your way. Let it be our way as we follow after King Jesus. This, his strength, would be our strength. Lastly, then, where does this part of the psalm end up? Right, so after longing and then trial and even opposition, where does this all go? Well, it ends with delight, doesn't it? Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They're my counselors. God's words are my friends. Thirsty free, the way to joy in this life is to keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord. The psalmist's life wasn't perfect nor easy, just like our own lives are not, just like our Savior's life was not. But we can have joy even when life is hard by looking to our Lord, by delighting in his loving words, by confidently knowing and treasuring all that he has said. Fill your mind with the words of God. Do that, and I have no doubt that you will see your confidence in him, so not in you, but in him, in what he's doing, and how he's at work in you, and how he's at work in this church. Confidence in him grow and flourish and bring you the kind of joy that overflows into worship, not because life is perfect, not because no sickness or death ever intrude, not because there's never an unexpected bill or an unexpected breakdown in your house or car or relationships. No, but instead, growth and flourishing lead to the kind of joy that overflows into worship because we know and are known by our God. Because his words actually are true and worthy of being treasured. And because God's joy is greater than our trials. And the only way that we can see that and know that and then have it come down and actually be what motivates us, what drives us. so, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would make us each as individuals and then together as your people, as First Evangelical Free Church Sioux City, that you would make us as seers of your words, not just as ink on a page, but instead that as we read, as we hear what you have said, that we would learn to delight in you, that we would look and see and have jaw-dropping awe and wonder at who you are, God. And what a blessing that you've revealed this through your word given to us. Thank you that King Jesus, that our Savior, our Lord, perfectly followed, upheld, enjoyed your word in all of his earthly life. That in doing so, he has succeeded where we have not. And yet, because he could have joy, he offers it now to us. Would you have us grow in our hunger for your word? Would you work in each of us such a taste for your word that we would delight to make time to carve out our schedule, to do whatever's necessary, to not just read some verses, but to learn more about you, the God who has created us, the God who has provided for our salvation, the God who will see us safely.